For some reason, President Clinton has decided, whether intentionally or not, to reopen the national debate about marriage and family values. Birds never debate these issues. They live out their lives doing what they have to do without paying much attention to the private lives of other birds. On the far left of the bird world, there's the cowbird, who supports individual rights to such an extreme that neither the male nor the female takes a bit of responsibility for the care of their children. The cowbird's system of social welfare is to lay eggs in the nests of other birds and then pretty much forget all about them. A few species refuse to care for cowbird babies, but most songbirds regard the foundling as they would any needy child, and care for it as tenderly and devotedly as they would their own. Phalaropes, delicate and beautiful little shorebirds, are surprisingly militant feminists. Female phalaropes are bold and aggressive, while the males are meek and submissive. Females dominate males in every aspect of their relationship. Females obviously lay the eggs, but they leave all the incubating and caring for the young to the males as they flit off to pursue relationships with new males. Hummingbird males are the deadbeat dads of the bird world, leaving their tiny but feisty Murphy Brown mates to a fate of single parenthood. Nighthawks reenact the Donna Reed show, with mom staying home while dad goes off to do some doctoring or bug catching, whichever his script calls for. Most songbirds associate with a mate for no other reason than to raise a family, and they measure their marriages not in years, but in nesting cycles. Wrens often swap mates whenever one batch of babies is grown, but robins often end up with the same partner for a whole summer, possibly out of affection, but more likely because intimate acquaintance with their shared territory makes them safer and more likely to raise second and third batches of babies successfully. Robins, like most songbirds, go their separate ways come fall migration, but because of their acute orientation and navigation abilities, they both often end up on the same territory the next spring, mated to each other season after season by default. The birds known for mating for life are geese, swans, and eagles, birds that require enormous wilderness territories. Their marriages have a phenomenal success rate, even with no legal restrictions on divorce and no need for divorce lawyers. These birds first forge their pair bonds on wintering grounds while associating with their kind, and some ornithologists maintain that this system simply makes it easier to breed at the right time in the right place. But the devotion a goose or swan shows when its partner is injured or sick goes far beyond the practical, bordering on the truly romantic. On the other hand, a pair of eagles seem far more devoted to their territory than to one another, and it's as if they stayed married simply because they can't work out a property settlement. You can find human examples for just about every avian mating system and avian examples for just about every human lifestyle. It's impossible to study clever cowbirds, feisty phalaropes, gadfly hummers, and jolly wrens without appreciating the beauty and utility of each of their mating systems. Birds are fascinating not in spite of, but because of their differences. But every bird follows its own species' social rules, and so never exposes its mate or young to public ridicule and pity. Looking around Washington, D.C., it's not hard to see who the real bird brains are. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.